Often you will discover in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, that when God's people were down, or something or someone was against them, when it appeared as though there was no hope, God would reveal Himself in some wonderful way by sending a vision or a dream or something of that nature to a prophet. And of course, the prophet in turn would then show that to the people. And it was intended as a way to lift the people up. During the prophetic ministry of Ezekiel, the Babylonians had made two horrible raids against the city of Jerusalem. And as a result, the mood among the Jews, including Ezekiel, was that of depression, sorrow, and mourning. And then this is what God does in Ezekiel chapter 1. Watch how all of a sudden, when things are about as low as they can be, how God introduces something to the prophet. First of all, in verses 1 through 3, it is written, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there." What an experience to see the heavens open. Ezekiel was seeing into another world. The heavens were peeled back. And this man was able to see right into heaven itself. Imagine seeing visions of God. Fear and amazement would captivate the soul and paralyze the body. And we'll see later, that that's exactly what happened to Ezekiel. Now, once this has taken place, in verses 4 through 14, four gloriously beautiful living creatures are introduced to Ezekiel and thus to us, his readers. Watch the approach of this glory in verse 4. "Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Off in the north, in the distance, a tempestuous wind or a whirlwind blew something in. The stormy wind brought a great cloud, but it was a cloud that Ezekiel had never seen before. For this one was a cloud of fire that was engulfing itself, much like the sun, which appears to be burning on itself." He says that it had the appearance of movement. He could see things happening, but it wasn't expanding. The fire would go out, but it would come right back in. It was just a big engulfing cloud of fire that this wind brought suddenly into his presence. Now, as he looks at the cloud of self-engulfing fire, something starts to come out of it. Watch now what he says in the first sentence of verse 5. "Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures." Out of this stormy, fiery cloud come these four living creatures whom Ezekiel will later identify in the 10th chapter of his book as cherubim. These are the cherubim that are now emerging from this fire as it is approaching this lonely man. But then, starting at the second sentence of verse 5, And going all the way through verse 14, he begins to describe for us in detail what he says, what he sees. Verse 5 continued to say, "And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. They were like men, though extraordinary men," because at first Ezekiel didn't say they looked like men, but he called them living creatures. And yet as they got closer and he could see the detail, they had something about them that looked like men. Now he talks about their faces in verse 6. "Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings." The origin, approach, and introduction of these creatures shows them to be more than just men. They're heavenly in nature. Each one has four faces, not four heads. Each one has one head, but as we'll see, on each side of the head is a face. And of course, they are given four wings that they might have great mobility. Notice now in verse 7 as he examines their detail. He says their legs were straight and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. Well, at this point, he sees the creatures standing with feet that resembled the feet of calves' feet in structure, though not in texture and radiance. Because their feet dazzled, he says, like bronze or brass that has been refined in a fire and then polished to a high luster. They have great strength when they stand on their feet. Then he notices their wings in verses 8 and 9. He said, "They had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward." Well, again, there's a man-like appearance because they have the hands of a man, but because of the nature of the kind of creatures they are, while they have the ability of man, we can see that they have the ability of something much greater than man. But notice how the creatures stayed together. Their wings are touching one another. And when they went in any direction, it was always forward. That's because with the face that's appearing before Ezekiel, when they came forward, that's what he saw. But then when it would appear to be going off to the side, really it was still going forward because there was a face in that direction as well. And so these creatures didn't have to turn. They were always making a straight path to the direction that someone or something wanted them to go. Now look at their faces in verse 10. He says, "As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and each of the four had the face of an eagle." Well, the face that was before Ezekiel was that of the man, showing their great intelligence. Their faces, again, not heads, that Ezekiel is showing us, they're all single-headed. On the right side, he said, they had this lion-like appearance, with the ferocity of the king of beasts. And on the left side, they look like an ox, representing the great strength and labor that these creatures are able to put forth. And thus, on the back side would be the face of an eagle, representing the swiftness of this mighty bird of prey. That's how these creatures could move, and indeed we'll see that here in a few moments. But then he speaks more about their wings in verse 11 when he writes this. "Thus were their faces. Their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies." Only two of the wings were used for flight. The other two covered their bodies. And when I read that, my first thought is what I showed you many months ago from Isaiah chapter 6 with the seraphim. Remember, those creatures were called living creatures. They are a little bit different because they're seraphim. They have three pairs of wings, and they're flying above the throne of God, but they only use one pair for flight. One pair of wings they use to cover their feet, and another pair of wings they use to cover their faces, showing us that the holiness of God is not something that's common or routine just to go walking into His presence as though there's nothing to it. The covering of the face showing that, you know, God cannot be looked upon by man without paying a price. His life. Unless, of course, God makes an exception. And like how they covered their feet as Moses and both Joshua were told at different times to take the sandals off their feet because they were standing on holy ground. And the ground was holy at that time because God was present. And so the cherubim are doing the same thing. They're covering their bodies. They're in the presence of someone holy and great. This is not a casual thing that we're seeing here. This is not something that happens every day. For earthbound creatures, that is. Now look at their motion in verse 12. And each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. And they did not turn when they went. They went straight forward because they obeyed perfectly. They did not turn seeking their own wills, but obeyed unquestioningly. Now, after looking at the details there, Ezekiel, it's as though he's standing back, and now he gives us a general appearance in verses 13 and 14 of these living creatures. As for the likeness of the living creatures, now, just picture this. With everything we've just seen, now picture what he says. Their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of torches. Fire was going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth, in appearance like a flash of lightning. Having surveyed the details of these creatures, Ezekiel again looks at the whole picture of the creatures before him, and he simply sees radiant brightness. He sees the creatures as though they're burning coals of fire, as though they're torches, bright fire. He even says out of the fire there's these lightning bolts that are shooting out from them. And then he talks about their movement. And when they go from A to B, they don't do it casually. They do it as fast as lightning, darting about all over the place. It's as though off in that distance came this cloud, then he saw the fire, then he saw the creatures emerging, and when they got to him, they didn't stop. They just start darting back and forth all over the place. And he's trying to get in this whole view, and he's trying to relate it to us by means of writing. I think to myself, what an experience this humble man had as God showed him this magnificent vision. You know, in Revelation chapter 4, John saw something very similar. In Revelation 4, verses 6 through 8, John, an apostle of Jesus Christ, wrote these words. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes, in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. There are really some fabulous things that are taking place up in heaven, isn't there? Won't it be something to be able to see these sights? Okay, now I come back to Ezekiel 1, and now all of a sudden, the living creatures are joined by something else, as he will now picture for us in verses 15 through 21. Here's what he says in verse 15. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth, beside each living creature with its four faces. All of a sudden, there's these wheels. And they have some kind of connection to the faces of the creatures, because that was the connection that Ezekiel makes. They work with the faces. We're going to see that they go in the direction wherever the faces want to go. The creatures are not thus confined to flight. That's why they have the wings. But they could also be on the earth and move about. And move about in a way that's much swifter than any bird can do when it's on the earth. Now look at verses 16 through 18 as Ezekiel is captivated by these wheels and he talks about them a little bit more. 16 through 18. The appearance of the wheels and their works, was like the color of beryl. And all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their works was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went toward any one of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome. And their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. Interesting, isn't it? Their color was like that of beryl or the green of the sea. And the stone that he speaks about here is a stone that must be cut so exactly that if not done in the right way, there will be no brilliance from it. Then he talks about a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Now here in the New King James Translation, I also have the word rim. So I'm wondering to myself what's going on here. Here's a large wheel, and then is it just merely what we would call a rim within that? Or was it another smaller wheel that aligned itself with the larger wheels? Was it perpendicular to it or what? Whatever is going on here, we're being given a picture of tremendous mobility to go in any direction that these creatures want to go with great speed. And also, he said, these smaller wheels had eyes all around them. As though the wheels themselves are alive. What a sight. Verses 19 through 21, we'll now see how the wheels have perfect harmony with the creatures. When the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whenever the Spirit wanted to go, they went. Because there the Spirit went, and the wheels were lifted together with them. For the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them. For the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Now there's a common spirit here. A common spirit in all of the living creatures, as well as in the wheels themselves, giving all of them perfect and harmonious and cooperative obedience. But now there's something else added to the vision. Ezekiel is so captivated by the creatures, perhaps he didn't notice something else that was above them. But now he clearly sees it. Watch what he says now in verse 22. The likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. Well, suddenly we discover there's this firmament or this expanse above the creatures. Now, are they supporting this thing? Or are they just under it to show that they serve whoever is up above this firmament? And he says that it looks like crystal. In Exodus chapter 24, the great man Moses and 73 of the leaders of Israel had a vision that was very similar to what Ezekiel saw. In Exodus 24, verses 9 through 11, it is written, "Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank." Fascinating again, is it not? In verse 23, watch what the wings of the creatures do when they're under the firmament. Back in Ezekiel 1. Here it says, "And under the firmament, their wings spread out straight, one toward another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body." Well, the wings, he says, at this point were stretched out in total boldness. And what an awesome sight that is. Just yesterday, my family and I were coming down from the Rogue River Gorge. And as we're going through a certain part of Klamath County, there was a bald eagle. Well, our car was probably about where that wall is, and I would say maybe the bald eagle was up in a tree on this side of the building, up on top. Never been that close to a bald eagle before. And I stopped the car, and we backed up and looked at him, and truck came by and scared the eagle, but when he got up and he just put his wings up and he flew down, what an awesome sight that was. You ever seen a bald eagle do that before? I've seen that many times. I think that is such an awesome sight. And so when I read Ezekiel 1 here, I thought, man, that, I know exactly what that looks like, only I don't think what I saw was nearly as large as what Ezekiel saw. It must have been even more intimidating and more awe-inspiring for him as he witnessed this marvelous sight. And the wings, he also said, remember there's two of them, that covered each side of their bodies. For they know who is above the crystal firmament. Now look at the noise of their wings in verse 24. "When they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty. A tumult like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings." Well, he's been overwhelmed with the sight of this whole thing. Now he's being overwhelmed with the sounds of it. Their wings flapping, he said, sound like the noise of many waters. Now when we went, I don't know if you've ever, any of you here have been to the Rogue River Gorge by Union Creek, but if you haven't, you need to go there because it's loud. I want you to go there if you can, just so you know what Ezekiel 1 is talking about. And there's a point where you have to yell at each other because it's so loud. From there, we went to National Creek Falls, further up on Highway 230, and it's the same way. You have to yell at each other to say, "Isn't this beautiful?" "Yes, it is. We like the spray." And you know, and then you get away and you're still arguing, or not arguing, but yelling at each other. But, you know, that's how it is. And he says that's how their wings sounded. He also said the sound of the wings was like the voice of God. Now, Ezekiel himself later in chapter 10, verse 5, will give a similar description again when he said this. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard even in the outer court, like the voice of Almighty God when He speaks. Now, what is the voice of God like? Well, in Revelation 1, John described it like the blare of a trumpet, one of the loudest instruments, especially back in those days. And he also described it as sounding like many waters. Now, also back here in Ezekiel 1 and verse 24, Ezekiel said the sound of the wings was like an army. Now, an army can be loud. When I was still preaching school in Southern California, I was assigned one day to go speak at the congregation that is out in 29 Palms, California, where the world's largest marine base is. And on that Sunday, they just happened to be having war games on the other side of a mountain range. And the boom that was coming from that was just incredible. If I had been on my feet, if I had had some experience, I would have changed my sermon and somehow used that, experience from the Bible somehow to illustrate something. But I also know that in ancient times, they didn't necessarily have explosions like that, but they still desired to make noise in order to frighten the enemy. There's a time when you want to be silent and have the surprise, but once the surprise has been made, then there needs to be great noise. That's part of what Gideon did, that so frightened the enemy. And so Ezekiel is trying to tell his readers, the first readers, when I heard these wings, it reminded me like an army on the attack, the blood-curdling cries they make. It sounded like the voice of God. It sounded like a mighty waterfall. But the wings were quieted when these cherubim stood. And here's why. Look at verse 25. A voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. In other words, someone is speaking. It's time for us to stop, and we stand, and we let down our wings. And in reverent silence, they listen. Clearly the voice was distinct from the sound of the wings, because the voice came from above the firmament. And so the living creatures let down their wings to give all attention to this one who is speaking. Now, brothers and sisters, please notice this. Up until this voice has sounded, everything that we've been seeing and hearing was nothing more than an introduction to the one who's about to speak. We have not even seen yet or heard from this one who is apparently even greater than these living creatures and the wheels. What must he be like? Now in verses 26 through 28, he will show us for a moment the glorious beauty of God. Look at the scene above the firmament, as he writes our verse 26. And above the firmament, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man, high above it. Ezekiel was privileged, to see a king. Have you ever seen an earthly king or queen? Now, of course, here in America, we just don't have that kind of spectacular sight. And in America, we even pride ourselves on saying, hey, a king or queen's just like me, just a man or a woman. And yet, the Bible even speaks about kings and queens as being special and all the royalty that surrounds them and so on. But the sight that was here was even greater. This king is even greater than the four living creatures, who themselves were quite magnificent, with a glorious beauty all their own. And he says that the throne that he saw resembled a sapphire stone. Now, a throne, as you know, is not a normal chair. kings of the earth always have a throne that is spectacular compared to what we sit on anyways. Solomon had a dramatic throne of ivory overlaid with gold. I would have liked to have seen that. But the throne in Ezekiel 1 reminded the prophet of a sapphire, a translucent stone with a hint of blue, looking a lot like a diamond. And the one who was on it, he says, looked like a man. Let's read about him a little bit more. Verses 27 and 28. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw, as it were, the color of amber, with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. It just seems as though the vision gets better and better and more glorious. Look at the one who's sitting on the throne. He uses the waist as kind of his pivot point. He talks about the glory that's above it and the glory that's above. But both the upper and the lower body are radiant with glorious beauty. As before the appearance of the living creatures, remember there was this amber color that he saw. And by the way, the living creatures at this point all seem to have been forgotten by Ezekiel. He's got his attention on someone else now. And there's that amber brightness before, and here it is again. And his whole body had the glow of an intense fire, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. And his glory takes the place of the sun in heaven, we're told. In the last book of the Bible, it is written, the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminates it, and the Lamb is its light. The face of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 in glory is like the sun in its full strength. John writes in Revelation 1 that Jesus had in his hand, his right hand, seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance, his face, was like the sun shining in its strength. Now Ezekiel says all this brightness was reminiscent of a rainbow. So it was not merely blinding light, but he could see detail and he could see wonderful colors in this great sight. Again, I refer you to the book of Revelation, this time chapter 4, where John wrote, at the beginning of that chapter, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Now Ezekiel says that what he was seeing, he comes right out and tells us very plainly, doesn't he? Back in Ezekiel 1. At the end of verse 28, he said, what I saw was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. But his language there is interesting. It's all seeing it literally, but God's given me some symbols to see that would convey to him just how magnificent the sight is, but it was just too wonderful for a man still in the flesh, still on the earth, to see the full revelation of God's glory. But fear gripped Ezekiel's soul, and he fell on his face. The rest of verse 28 says, so when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. Well, I don't want to leave us hanging there, so let's just read the next two verses of chapter 2. And he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And then God himself begins to give the prophet a mighty message. When John saw a revelation of God in the book of Revelation, he did the same thing. He fell down on his face as dead. And it took the touch of Jesus Christ to bring him back. When Daniel saw the same thing in Daniel chapter 10, you remember how I showed you it was a long, drawn-out process in that case. He fell down. He was touched. He was brought to his hands and his knees. He was spoken to by God. God raised him up on his feet. He was still trembling. And then he starts to fall down again, and God just works with the man because he was so humble and recognized what an awesome vision he was receiving. And Ezekiel had the same thing. In chapters 3, 8, 9, 10, and 43 of Ezekiel, it happened to Ezekiel again and again and again. He receives a vision and he falls down as dead. But God revives him and enables him to receive a powerful message from Him. Now here's the last thing I want to bring out. We can see this sight. This is why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the earth. You see, we cannot go into the presence of the Holy God without having our unholiness removed and thus for ourselves to be made holy. But if we are made holy, then on that last great judgment day, we shall see Him who sits on the throne. And we shall see Him in glory. But we need to make sure that we see Him as a friend and not as a foe. That's what Jesus is all about. He has guaranteed that if you die to yourself, you turn from sin, seek after holiness, if you've been baptized into Christ, then it's guaranteed you shall see this and you shall be invited in to partake in this glory. If you want that this morning and you're not sure that you have it, we can help you. We can show you the Scriptures and we want to do that. If you need Christ, if you're not yet been baptized into Christ, please come forward right now as we stand and sing.